shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't need maybe. 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal on Saturday night on WGN 720. We've got a very fine show. In the next hour, we've got Paul Schaefer from The Letterman Show talking about his upcoming gig at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Also have our friends from The Matchbox talking about their 22nd anniversary party. And on the phone from California is Terry Hank, saxophonist, who's kicking off the American Music Festival at Fitzgerald's on Friday, June 30th. Terry, are you there?
I'm here, Dave.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good.
We got Bill and Kate Fitzgerald in the studio. They're going to handicap the festival in a little bit. But tell us about your roots in Chicago. You're a Chicago guy who moved out to California in the 60s, right?
Yes. Yeah, I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in Highland Park, Illinois. Pretty much as soon as I was out of high school, early 60s, I was out in went out to California. First, really just to surf and diving and surfing. I loved all that, you know. I was into the ocean, and then later on, I took up the horn later I saw B.B. King in Chicago in 1963, and Ray Charles also at the same time at the Regal, two different times at the Regal Theater, and I wasn't a musician yet. Some friends of mine that were a little hipper than, well, I knew about Ray Charles, of course, but I didn't know about B.B. King. Some friends of mine that were a little hipper than me took me down there to the Regal, and that pretty much blew me away.
And you're...
You hear people playing sustained note leads like that in 1963, you know?
Your CD from Roadhouse to Your House, I gave it a couple spins. We're going to play a little Tyrone Davis cover later, but... It really is. I mean, you reflect a lot more than the blues. Soul, R&B, Tyrone Davis, Louis Jordan. Talk about your influences. And far-reaching, you know?
Coming through those eras, I'm 72, so coming up through all those eras, you know, hearing all that stuff, it's kind of a natural progression. For me, it was always, it always seemed to be, even though I wasn't aware of it at the time, when I first heard Jimmy Reed, you know, was like on WIND, you know, coming off just the regular pop station. I'm going, this I like, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that was. It was just coming out of the radio. And then the first rock and roll record I bought was Fats Domino, Yes, It's Me, and I'm in Love Again. I think My Blue Heaven was on the flip side, and I bought the 78. But you know, I wasn't even aware that that was New Orleans music. You know what I mean? It's just what I liked, you know? And so after a while, you know, then just listen, you know, then I was always into blues, jazz, soul, all that is what I was leaned towards. And so, you know, everything went through a natural progression when blues started getting, you know, funky and James Brown. Well, in the soul era, you know, when that whole Stax thing came in, that was I wasn't really aware of the business then either, and that sort of came and went really fast. I go, what happened there, you know?
Well, it's interesting you say that, you know,
stuff, and then that stopped, you know,
the business end of it. I think it's real interesting, your backstory. Right. tell us about your father, Henry Brandon. I've been doing research all week on him.
he was a well-known Chicago band leader. And, you know, he came out of Chicago, and he was very successful. And then he was also a musical contractor, you know, and so he was on the business end of it. And, you know, he was booking shows with Sinatra and, you know, Peggy Lee, Tony Bennett, and all these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd hire, when they'd come to town, they'd have their musical director, leader, and he'd hire the musicians.
He passed in the 80s.
Really,
go ahead.
Yeah, he passed in 86. He was just 71.
Yeah. And he was he conducted an orchestra at the Chez Paris and the Pump Room. I mean, so
he was the house band at the Chez Paris for a while and a couple of times. I remember the first time they went out of business, my dad goes, "Well, they went out of business, but I can't really ask those guys for the money, if you know what I mean." And
Bill Fitzgerald's
and then if they open back up and ask me to play, I'm going to say yeah, you know.
Okay, we're going to play a little bit of a hidden track here, Dan Long, and then I want you to comment on this, Terry. So, Terry, will you be covering that at Fitzgerald? Yeah. Your dad had a hand in that.
It was he and two other people that were sort of partner and started a little ad, you know, a jingle agency. And they that was, you know, it was a joint effort. And unfortunately, it was, you know, it's just, you know, Oscar Mayer, but it was just done for them. And they, Oscar Mayer owned the rights, so they got no residuals or anything. Otherwise, I'd probably be having a lot easier now.
But I mean, his the last thing on your father. I mean, was there music around the house? I mean, with this musical background he had.
Well, it's, you know, it's funny. There, you know, he was a professional, and he when he's at home, about the only time he ever listened, he'd just be on the piano arranging late at night. I'd hear the piano tinkling away, but other than that, he didn't really, you know, listen to music that much. It's, you know, when I started listening to rock and roll, and the, you know, he was like, you know, oh yeah, you know how those guys tune their guitars, they throw them on the ground, you know, and you know, it was like they looked at it as, you know, oh, these hillbillies are putting us out of business, you know, and the big band here was kind of ending. And when I listened, then I was into the avant-garde when I first started. I knew nothing about music, you know, but I got in the avant-garde, and my dad was just, well, you know, sounds like my trumpet player when he's drunk, you know. But so really, my dad always encouraged me to, you know, get into music, but I was always, you know, I wanted to play baseball or whatever, and then, you know, wanted to go diving, surf somewhere. Something different, you know, and I wish I had paid more attention, you know what I'm saying? I wish when I was young I paid more attention, learn, because I'm a self-taught, you know, I didn't pick up a horn until I was 21, so, you know, I didn't really get into it till much later.
Our older listeners will know this stuff. I mean, like, he did these concerts at Old Orchard.
He was a pioneer of the shopping center concerts.
That's fantastic.
And one time when I was, this is already when I was probably out of the house, but I was back there, and he told me that he had hired this guy named Howlin' Wolf for one of the shopping center mall concerts. And he goes, and I came out, he said, I went out there to check on it, and here's this guy on his hands and knees rolling his eyes and howling at these housewives, you know, rich suburban housewives. And I'm going, oh, no, I'll probably lose the whole, lose this gig, lose this account. And he said they loved it. They went crazy, and they loved it.
That's great. He wrote the Oak Brook Overture for the Oak Brook Shopping Center. Pretty interesting stuff.
I don't know if I've ever heard it.
Tell us about the group you will
and
bring.
He also played Cubs games. He played every opening day for the Cubs, and they always put. He had a big, like a large Dixieland band. They had a large Dixieland band in mezzanine behind home plate.
Really? We've had Tud Butterman on the show. He used to do that. Yeah. Who will you bring to Chicago? Tell us what people can expect at Fitzgerald's on Friday, June 30th.
I've got Johnny Cat Subran on guitar. I've got Butch Cousins on drums and Tim Wager on bass.
Okay.
Stellar group.
And you got a gig tonight. I know you have to run to it, so thanks for taking time.
We're playing we're out here doing it. We do in the summer, we do a series of county and state and county. You know, we do these fairs where we're there kind of every day.
Okay.
And so.
Last thing before we have to split for the commercial. How can people find your music?
Last time I was at Fitzgerald's was like in the 80s with Elvin Bishop. I was there playing with Elvin.
Oh, okay. And how can people find you, Terry?
I think we're working with Mighty Joe Young, actually, in his band. It's me and Elvin.
What's your website? How can people find out more about you?
Oh, it's Terry Hank, and that's TerryHank.net. TerryHank.net.
Okay.
And, that album just got nominated as Best Live Album with the Blues Blast Awards. Blues Blast Magazine Awards.
It's a great record. We're going to play some of it in a little bit here. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break for some spots. And we'll be back with Bill and Kate Fitzgerald on WGN.
Seated by night, as I pack my bed to leave, thought she would stop to cry.
I could just talk all night through this. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's the Terry Hank Band. You just heard him, and that's the cover of Tyrone Davis's Can I Change My Mind? And they kick off the 36th annual, I guess it would be, American Music Festival. On Friday, June 30th, it runs through Monday, July 3rd. And in studio with us are Bill and Kate Fitzgerald from Fitzgerald's. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Our pleasure, Dave.
Nice to see you again. Mm-hmm. This is the third year you've been on the show to talk about
this? I
think so. That's amazing. Yeah. Who would have thunk it? So why don't you handicap the festival? Tell us some of the highlights. Some people I know. I mean, Dave Alvin on the 3rd, I know. You know, Marsha Ball before Dave. But some of the people I don't know. So why don't you...
You know, I mean, starting with the first day, you know, of course, Terry Hank, good friend, Mindy Giles, you know, talked me into booking Terry. I think it's going to be a great kickoff. Western Centuries are a good country western group out of California that we're looking forward to seeing. David Looning is a new emerging artist that'll start off in the club.
Where's he from?
He's from California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got a new album on Restless Records. But then you look at, there's some good ones here with, you know, the Waco Brothers, the Zimmerman doing their Dylan tribute with, they're going to have their friends like Doc Julin sit in, Langford's going to sit in, who else do they have? Let's see, they've got
Robbie
Foulkes is going to sit in.
He's going to sit in with them?
Yeah, so, and I think David Looney might take a song too, so that's always fun.
Do they cover the whole Dylan song? I mean, what do they do?
They've got a set list that they do, and some of these artists will ask to perform a certain song, and they'll oblige them. They rehearse the week before, and
that's all on Friday, June 30th.
Yeah, pretty cool. The Robbie Foulkes and Red Volker together on stage is going to be a great set, I think.
Red used to play with Merle Haggard.
Yep. Two really funny guys that are two of the best guitar players I've ever heard together on stage, and it's going to be quite a thing.
Saturday, July 1st, what's the highlight besides Nocturnal Journal broadcasting live from the festival that night? Right, Dan Long will be there. we'll be there doing the whole show from there. We're going to have a couple artists in the camper van, but yeah, handicap the first for us.
I'm looking forward to seeing Low Straitjackets with Marshall Crenshaw.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah.
That's going to be a great thing. I'm a big fan of the Pines. They're from Minneapolis. They're from that Driftless area up there. Pretty atmospheric music, but I really enjoy them a lot.
Kind of out of the Greg Brown, isn't Bo Ramsey's kid or something?
Yep. Bo Ramsey's son. And Kate and I actually got to see them recently up in Wisconsin at a library concert. It was pretty cool. Our old friend Kevin Gordon, this gal, Liz Weiss from New Orleans, is going to bring kind of a jazzy gospel R&B mix.
Our friend Curtis McMurtry, I see, is in the sidebar. He was great last year. He came into the van last year.
Yeah, Curtis and I are, I booked him over there for, 2 years ago, and I just said, just every year.
You're coming
back here every single year, and he's such a great guy.
He is.
He's happy to do it, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. He took that whole camper van experience last year quite seriously, Dan.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
very, very nice.
Yeah.
He's a good soldier. What about Shiny Ribs?
Shiny Ribs got two nights because I think they're one of the best bands I've seen at Fitzgerald's in many years. It's just, it's, they have everything. I mean, they're, you know, Kevin is the lead singer. Kevin Russell is from the Gourds, and this is his new project. And it's just got, you know, it's that, that great southern, funky, greasy rock and roll stuff. And he's a funny, funny guy on stage, a genius musician. He's got a horn section. He's got background singers. And it's just a wonderful group. And we gave him a closing set in the tent and a closing set in the club. So...
When's the closing? Oh, I see. The
yeah, they get
the
close
the next night.
The club on the 1st, and then they close the tent on the Sunday, the 2nd.
And then at the 1st, it says the club closes at 3 a.m.
Right.
Then what happens? There's no more stay out all night disco, Bill.
Not as much, no.
Not the first night, anyway. Yeah.
So let's take a break before we go to 2 and 3. I want to ask some just the conceptual type questions for both of you guys. How has the festival evolved in the 36 years? Maybe some early memories. How has it evolved in your mind, and how has your booking policies changed in the 36 years?
You know, the fact that we started out with a 4-band single-day event, and now I think somehow it got up to 60. I feel like it's almost like a crazy uncle that can't stop making his fireworks show.
No, really.
With the family picnic bigger, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's been no trouble so far. People just seem to like it. It's just a great, you know, we want to put on a great, great show, and it's hard to say no to people. So we have a really big lineup in the sidebar. I think that's where my wife, Kate, here is the one who booked that, and I think that's getting us up into that 60, but...
So yeah,
it's 7 to 13, 14 bands just on the outdoor stage and the club stage. But now the sidebar has got six acts a day. You know?
Yeah.
And I even told David Looning if he wants to play the sidebar at midnight because he gets stuck playing the first set of the day, he can play another show. So it's a fun little thing over there. But, yeah, the four-day, you know, 40 to 60 band, that's a lot to happen at the – relatively small confines that is Fitzgerald.
Kate, you were saying in the green room it's the longest running, what would you say?
Well, Dave, I kind of threw it out. I was it just occurred to me, we were talking one day up in the office, that none of us can think of any other independent music festival not sponsored by a city or a college or a corporation. We can't think of any that's been longer running, so I just boldly proclaim that in some of our advertising. I'm kind of waiting to get called out, but I don't know if I will.
If we get the mayor of Berwyn in the camper van next Saturday night, I will ask him this, but I know you guys will be busy, but how has the city of Berwyn, is it the city or village of Berwyn?
The city.
The city of Berwyn. How has that changed since you started this?
They've been very supportive, you know.
The whole run, all 36 years.
Uh-huh. I remember Tom Shaughnessy, one of the mayors that, you know, was there for many years while we were doing this. And he used to, somebody said that he said, I don't know what that Billy Fitzgerald's doing over there, but when I was in the airport in California, you know, in Los Angeles, I was talking to somebody waiting for the plane. Where are you from? You know, he said, Berwyn, that's where Fitzgerald's is. So that made him feel great and made him realize that, you know, that we're a known place across the country. Because of musicians, I think, telling people and, you know, people traveling to see music in towns. And so that was great. But Berwyn's been great to us. You know, we've had great aldermen, and the mayors have been very supportive. And I think, you know, they read about Fitzgerald's in the paper, and they go, well, this is a good thing for us. So,
and for listeners who may not know, it's at 6615 West Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. And, you know, I've been coming there probably since the beginning. It really has sparked growth along the strip. But talk about the restaurants and the other clubs. I mean, it's a whole destination area now. Before, you were a little out like an island, you know?
Right, right. Many people have told us that, and it's very rewarding to hear that so many things maybe have sprung from us being there and having success. And of course, we've grown from just the nightclub to... Now we've got the sidebar building. We have three buildings, creating a little bit of a compound or confines there, and we've got the restaurant next door with Capri, and it really is a great little campus, you know. And
well,
many,
we
many...
should probably mention our co-conspirators now. We have three other music venues within three blocks. We have Wire, about three blocks west. We have the Friendly Tap.
Right.
Wire's kind of a bigger concert venue. They do a little more heavy metal, younger rock stuff. The Friendly Tap is the ultimate dive where you go in and see that, you know, you walk right past the band when you go in the door.
It is the Friendly
really
Tap.
Friendly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then ourselves, and then a relatively new place to open down the way called the Crew Rock Lounge. And
I drove by that the other day.
Yeah, we're not quite sure what they're doing yet, but they definitely have music. So, yeah, and then we have a world-class restaurant, Outremont.
Yeah, I've been there.
Many, many awards. And right next door to us, fantastic old-world Capri Italian restaurant. So, yeah, it's hopping.
What's the nearest hotel? And then we'll take it.
Probably the Carlton or the Rite Inn in Oak Park.
Yeah, in Oak Park. Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break for David Jennings in the news, and you're going to hang around. We're going to handicap the other 2 days.
Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit about our friend Jimmy LaFave, too, when we come back with Bill and Kate Fitzgerald on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720, and we're with Bill and Kate Fitzgerald from Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, and we're looking, previewing the 36th Annual American Music Festival. That's Dave Alvin. That's become a standard for the club. He kind of closes it down on toward the end of the festival. This year he's playing 10 o'clock on Monday, July 3rd, the last day of the festival. How long is Dave? I mean, that's when he does that song.
Right.
Everybody throws napkins in the air. It's quite a big deal.
Oh yeah, yeah. He we had to talk him into it this year. He just played the club in May, I think.
Uh-huh.
And sold it out. It was fantastic. But we twisted his arm, and he's going to be there. And he's performed at the festival probably 5-6 times. One time he actually flew in to join his brother Phil as part of the Blasters, which was really a great thing. We love Dave and the band, and the fact they're closing the tent, that's going to be quite an event.
It really is perfect music for.
And you know that whole napkin thing. People think that the Dave that started with our old friend Jimmy LaFave, who unfortunately just passed away. That started with him, and I'll never. It was a midnight show on the 4th of July.
I was there. Yeah,
he was playing a great rockin' song, and we just said, "Hey, it's midnight," and we tossed all those napkins in the air, and Jimmy had his eyes closed like he always does, and finally I think a napkin got between his fingers and his guitar strings, and he looked up and he's like, what the heck's going on here, you know? And it became a thing after that.
So, well, we did a thing on Jimmy a couple weeks ago. His spirit will definitely be there that whole weekend, man. And why don't we talk about some of the acts who were deeply connected to him. Marsha Ball, John D. Graham, who we know, the Shiny Ribs. Talk about their connection with Jimmy and what people can expect.
Well, I think Marsha was featured at that memorial they did for Jimmy. And Marsha's club that she and her husband had, La Zona Rosa, is where I first saw Jimmy at a South by Southwest. I saw a late night show there, a midnight show, and they're great friends. And other people like...
Marsha will be there on the 3rd.
The Shiny Ribs played at that memorial. Ray Bonneville was a great friend of Jimmy's. So John D. Graham, all good friends. So there's going to be a lot of talk about
Tell us, for listeners who may not know, what that memorial is about. It was just about a month ago. Yeah,
I think it was they knew that he had cancer, and they decided to put the show together. And I guess Jimmy got to choose who would be at that and what songs they'd play. And he was able to attend a tribute to him before, I think 3 days before he passed away, and showed up in a wheelchair on stage to lead the crowd at the very end of the concert in a Woody Guthrie song. Yeah. This Land Is Your Land.
We had Gretchen.
And I guess it was quite a scene.
We had Gretchen Peters on the show, and she talked about that. And I was telling you during the break, she said he showed up in an ambulance for that show.
Yeah.
But he pretty much created his own wake. I mean, he really got a chance.
But you know how, I mean, he was a great act for us in general, but at the festival, he had it all.
Yeah.
You know, he'd do all that Woody Guthrie stuff. He'd do the Chuck Berry stuff. He'd do Dylan, you know, it was American music.
Well, he illustrates something that you're, for both of you, that people connect your club with is the Austin scene. How did that vibe, how did Fitzgerald's get so identified with, like, what goes on in Austin?
Well, it started with Marsha Ball. She was our first, like I said, first out-of-town act, and she told us about Gulf Coast music, you know, Texas music, Louisiana music, and... You know, there's so many wonderful groups down there, and that's it just sort of started there. And you know the list of, you know, all the Zydeco Cajun acts and then the Roots acts. And it just became a thing, you know. And I think with a band like Jimmy's, you know, he's got the perfect band. You know, the solid bass player, drummer, great piano player, great lead guitar player, and then Jimmy, you know, playing rhythm and singing and having this great eclectic set of music, you know. You know, Austin is such a rich town, such great musicians, and all that music down there, the Louisiana side and the Texas side, is it's just fun, and it's based in the blues and soul music and gospel, and what a great world down there.
I've been such a fan of yours for so long. You've been very loyal to your musicians. I mean, you're very loyal to the people who come through there. Ball, I tease you about Marsha, but right. I mean, you know, just when somebody's locked in, you right. really stay connected.
And they're loyal to us too.
They are.
Yeah.
Despite all the changes.
Many of these acts can go make more money at different venues, and they do, but they come back to Fitzgerald's, which is great, you know.
Well, there's no environment like that.
Right.
Like Fitzgerald's.
Oh, and we hear that a lot from people like Dave Alvin. You know, he says it's one of the best clubs in the country. And you kind of go, oh, you say that every night, don't you, Dave? But then they tell you, no, not at all. You know, tonight was the best night of the tour. And we always have a great time here. This is our home base, you know, that type of thing. So I believe it.
Now, you and I were talking after the Springfield Jamboree a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You're going to be transitioning a little bit out of the booking of the club. You've been at it for so long.
Yeah, I booked it for, I'm in my 37th year. Yeah.
How'd you come to that decision, and what's it going to mean for the club?
I've been feeling it for a while, and there's a young guy named Donnie Biggins who lives in Oak Park and has done a lot of booking around Chicago. He actually owns a room now called the Tonic Room. And he has a family in Oak Park, now River Forest, and just always liked the idea that you know, if he could have his office there and work for Fitzgerald's, he'd love it. And we kind of toyed with this about 2 years ago, and it didn't work out. But now I've passed the calendar off to him. As of the, you know, once the festival was done, I handed it to him at the end of May, I think. And
how'd you feel?
I felt pretty good. I look around sometimes and go, wow, I'm done with that, you know.
Well, you have so many, and Kate, you know this more than I do. You're married to it. But you have so many other interests. You're just
right.
You respond to everything that is around you. I've known you forever. And
so I guess you saw the sailboat that's sitting on the stage in front of the club. Yeah. That I flatly refused to buy. And he said, well, we'll just put it on the stage and we'll put the banner for the festival on it. It'll be for advertising.
You're going to love it, Dave. It's a sailing canoe that a 70-year-old Berwyn man built, and he had to let it go because he moved to a smaller house. But
what's so great about you guys is that you can sit here, and I've probably done it on the air, I'm cynical about music. I covered music for so long, and you have maintained such a sense of wonder of just everything about you, whether it's the music you listen to or the things you see. I mean, this thing about you're spending time painting the front of the club red, white, and blue. What's that about?
After all these years, we finally restored our facade, which is our logo. It's a really nice wooden, you know, old wooden front, and the wood was rotten, the metal was rotting, so we had a buddy of ours, Mike Fleege, restored the whole thing, and we thought, let's paint it red, white, and blue to celebrate the restoration and the festival. But I'm telling you, we like it, so I think we're going to paint the whole club tomorrow. And it's not gaudy at all. It's great. Kate picked out the colors. They're really, really nice blue siding and cotton white trim and a little a little red detail. So.
But that eye for detail just always amazed me. Yeah. You know, even when I was at the wedding, just the eye for detail, it's very moving to me, the way you guys pay attention.
No, it's fun. And my whole family enjoys that they're all there, you know, today and tomorrow and all week decorating and doing little things to really make the club feel great for this event. You know, yeah, it's like getting ready for a party or a wedding. You know, you really put your all into it. And, I'll probably miss that, but, you know.
Okay, now I don't want to forget the second. We've handicapped every day. We got about 2 minutes left. So July 2nd, Tributosaurus becomes the Monkees. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. That's go ahead, Kate.
She really did not want the Monkees. And but Chris Neville of Tributosaurus and I kind of ganged up on him. Because I sometimes I think it's easy to forget that everybody doesn't know how many bands the bass player played with. Yeah. They just want to have fun.
Yeah.
So my job is sort of to bring an element of fun. Like in the sidebar, I like a cappella groups. So I have a barbershop quartet.
Oh, that's great.
I have these girls called Babylon 5 who are, you know, it's just, you know, I don't take it quite as seriously.
And knowing Tributosaurus, that's going to be a knockout show. Okay. I mean, it always is. A
couple more and we got to split.
Oh, I
think Ike Riley?
Ike Riley is what a way to close that night. I mean, that's a rock and roll guy there. Right? He's a lot of fun. He's got a great new record out. And we're looking forward to Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. I heard great things about them. Sarah Borges is always great.
Okay.
And then our closing day, boy, it's just a lot of good friends there and people that we like and enjoy quite a bit. And Dave Alvin and Eric Lindell get to close it up. And Eric's buddy, Anson Funderburg, is going to join him.
Somebody's, that's good.
He's
that's
flying good. In to sit in on that show.
Okay, so. In about the 30 seconds we have left, Tom Sims Barbecue. We got to give Tom a plug. I love his food.
They're building the booth tonight. They're getting ready.
Yeah. All right, and it's June 30th to July 3rd. Give us all the details, the address, website, all that stuff.
6615 West Roosevelt in Berwyn. The website's FitzGeraldsNightclub.com. You can buy a four-day pass for $120, which saves you about $30 if you paid to come every day, which anybody can use on any day. Otherwise, tickets, I think, are $30 Friday, $40 each the rest of the days. You can bring the youngins if you have them out by 10. We have real bathrooms. We have air conditioning. We have a full bar. You know, it's just as good as it
gets. And if you show up during the first hour, you get $5 off the admission.
Okay.
We want people in there to see Terry Hank and, you know, all the people that are starting off.
Okay, well, thanks so much. Thanks for doing this every year. Thanks for being a friend. And we're going to see you next week. We'll be broadcasting live from the music festival on the first, Saturday the 1st. So thanks, Bill and Kate.